This is disgusting. It's disgraceful. It's embarrassing. And I'm ticked off.
NBA Straya, how you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Straya. It's Thursday, April 19. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and whoever else wants to pay me money. And I'm hanging out here in Larry Elmer Studios, New York City, New York, making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA playoffs today, just while repping Australia just a little bit. You know, just a little bit. Why not? Wow. So, this is episode 101 of NBA Straya. Did you check out our episode 100 with special guest NBA champ Andrew Bogut yesterday? You bloody well better have. Thanks for all the feedback on that too. It was great having Big Fella on, so we'll try to do more of that. So, today's show wraps up the three playoff games from last night, including the Cavs winning a crucial one at home to tie up their series with Indy, the Jazz stealing one in OKC, and the Rockets absolutely smashing the Wolves. Oh, yeah. So we've also got playoff editions of the usual dumbassery, yeah, nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Takehouse. Get some shrimp with your takes. And as we do every day, and because all of them are playing in the playoffs, we've got the daily Straya Play and Watch. Australian Player Watch? That'll do it. Where we check in on what the Australians got up to last night. We also preview the three games today, Sixers at Heat, Warriors at Spurs, and call up our resident Portland fan, our pal PDX Pete, to give us the rundown on Blazers Pelicans. That's fun. We've also got a quick Where in the World is Jonah Bolden, and we swing by Kiwi Corner to finish up with the news, Diary of Stephen Adams. Unreal. It's episode 101. It's NBA Australia. Let's go!
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Straya, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, we're back. So NBA Straya, we usually start with the whip around and into the playoffs sort of game wraps. But first off, the news, Greg Popovich's wife passing away yesterday. Horribly sad news. And there's nothing anyone can say that would ease Pop and his family's pain. So, you know, the rough situation. Our condolences go out to Pop and the family. That's the worst. Life is short, man. Spend it with the people that you love. So let's get on to the rest of the show, shall we? And just do this the way we always do. All right, let's get to the game wraps from yesterday.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
All right, let's do it. It is the daily whip around, where we cover all the stuff that happened last night in the NBA. All the stuff that you need to know. So we've got two series all tied up and one that was, pretty much buried. Jesus, Wolves. So first off, Indy, they lose in Cleveland 100-97. It was really 194. But Victor Oladipo hit a three at the very end buzzer to make it look a little bit closer than it really ended up being. Even though this was a bit of a arm wrestle for a lot of the game for the Cavs, but they just kept their noses in front and win it to even up their series 1-1 going back to Indiana. So, holy shit, that was a make or break game for the Cavs. And look, on this here episode yesterday, we predicted it. Called LeBron scoring as 45, 15, and 15. And he ended up with 46, 12, and 5. I mean, we're pretty close. It's not too bad. All right, so for the Pacers, Victor Oladipo, 22 points. 9 of 18 shooting, 2 of 8 from 3. He had 6 assists and 6 turnovers. Victor just ran out of gas a little bit in this game. I feel like the Cavs pressured him a little bit more. He coughed up the ball a couple of times where you're like, oh, Pacers could have used a score there instead of a turnover. Darren Collison buried a couple of crucial threes as well. Miles Turner arrived in the series finally, 18-5 last night. Born ready, Lance, make him dance. He had 10 points on 5-9. The Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis. I'll have double meat, thanks, Domantas. Yeah, mixed meat, thanks, mate. 6 points on 8 shots, not great. Thad and Bojan, a couple of Brooklyn refugees, both had 8 as well. The team shot 6 of 22 from 3, though. Pretty rough. And the Pacers just didn't seem to have, like, the sort of explosive sort of offense that got them over the hump the first time against the Cavs, and also, you know, clamping down on LeBron, which they didn't do in this one because for the Cavs, LeBron, holy shit, 46, 12, and 5 with a couple of steals. He scored their first 16 points. 16! I'll have 16 Dim Sims, thanks. Wait, you want 16 Dim Sims? No. 16 Dim Sims. Oh, 16? 16 Dim Sims? Yeah, mate, thanks. 17 of 24 from the field. Unbelievable. 2 of 5 from 3. He got Korver cooking as well. Korver had 12. Kevin Love had 15 and 8. Also fucked up his left hand again a little bit. Not great, but turns out he just needs to ice at that and MRI. He should be all right. Still, for the Cavs, what the fuck is everyone else doing? Rodney Hood, 5 points. JR, 5 points. George Hill, 6 points. Jeff Green, Clarkson, 2 points each. What the fuck, man? Come on, LeBron can't do this all by himself. Now 16 points from the entire bench. 16 from the entire bench. Versus 25 from Indy, so at least Indy's bench didn't punish them, but fucking hell, man. Cavs basically need LeBron to do that 3 more times and pray that the rest of the fucking flogs on his team show up. But at least Love's good to go, so look, into game 3, 1-1. Interesting. Cavs needed a superhuman effort from LeBron. Will they get it again? We'll talk about that a little bit later. I'll tell you that much, but we'll use it. All right, OKC hosted the Utah Jazzes last night, and the Jazz run away with it. 102-95. Holy shit. Unbelievable. So how's this, though, for OKC? The big three for OKC: Carmelo Anthony, Playoff P, and Rusty. Fucking sucked. Holy shit. 0 of 14 in the fourth quarter. What the fuck, mate? The Nary Warren under 18s could score in a fourth fucking quarter. 0 of 14. So combined, they had 54 points for the entire game versus the 80 that the three of them had in game one. 19 of 58 shooting. Ugh, that is fucking gross. Rusty didn't score for like huge stretches of both halves in the fourth, obviously, and basically didn't score after like the first, basically the entire second quarter. Didn't score the entire second quarter and was held scoreless from about, I think, 3 minutes left in the first. Unbelievable. Not great, Rusty. Not great. Finishes with 19 points, 13 assists, and 9 rebounds. And yeah, weird thing was, he was their best player. 7 of 19 from the field. Also not very good. 2 of 3 from 3, so that's at least okay. He didn't fucking start jacking up threes left, right, and center. Melo, though, missed 2 threes with 40 and 25 seconds left, respectively, that basically could have gotten them right back in this game and even, like, tied it up at one point. Instead, Melo missed both of them. Oh, but Olympic Melo's gonna be awesome on the Thunder. Get the fuck out of here. 17 points on 18 shots. 6 of 18, Melo goes. 2 of 9 from 3. Fucking hell. 9 rebounds? Sure. And how's Playoff P? Paul George. Yeah, hey guys, I'm Playoff P. It's like, yeah, you gotta be good to be named Playoff P, mate. 18 points on 6 of 21 shooting. Fucking hell. Gerald Green could do that, mate. 18 points, 10 rebounds. A lot of playing for fouls and not actually playing for good shots. Steven Adams fouled out on a bogus-ass call on the fourth, where I reckon he got a fucking pretty clean block on Rudy Gobert. Pain in the ass, I reckon, that one. We'll hear from Steven Adams later. Jeremy Grant was amazing, though, for OKC. I thought sort of fit in just a lot of energy, a lot of effort. 13 points, 6 rebounds, 6 of 10 from the field. He was everywhere. And it's the kind of role-playing game that you get at a... when you're playing at home, that you really want to take advantage of and win the fucking game. Unfortunately, you didn't. Because for the Jazz, Donovan fucking Mitchell, 28 points, 10 of 25. Missed every three he took, though, 0 of 7, but kept attacking. This was the key. He didn't let it get him down that he was like, oh, shit, I can't hit a shot from outside. You know what? He's like, fuck it. I'm going to just keep driving at Paul George, one of the very best defenders in the NBA, and it ain't going to matter shit. He's like pulling off the like pull-up jumpers, drives, twisty-ass layups. It was unreal. Also added 6 rebounds, 2 assists. We'll talk about him a little bit later. Rubio, how is that from 3? He has 22 points, goes 5 of 8 from downtown. Also adds 9 assists, 7 rebounds. Rudy Gobert, I am the Staffel Tower. If you want to drive on me, you shall better bring it hard, no? 13 and 15 for the Stifle Tower. But Derek Favors, that's tasty. 20 points, 16 rebounds, 3 assists, which might be a career high for Derek fucking Favors. 8 of 14 from the field, and also 10 random points from Jonas Hrebko. Hello, Jonas. Nice one. But the poise of like Mitchell and even Dante and Jingler, we'll talk about them in the NBA Australian Player Watch. Not huge games, because the Thunder are kind of like, hey, if we take Jingler out of the equation, it'll be up to the rest of the Jazz to win it for us. And when Rubio goes 5 of 8 from 3, yeah, look, sometimes that'll just beat you. But at the same time, maybe just cover the guy a little bit better. He was wide open on like 3 of those fucking 3s, dude. Like white, like no one within spitting distance of him. Well, I thought OKC would win that at home, but they didn't. So the Jazz tied up 1-1. There you go. Unbelievable. We have ourselves a series. Actually, both of those series are going to be fucking great, and I can see them both going 7 now. And then the final game of the night, an absolute fucking laugher, as we predicted yesterday, 102-82, the Rockets beat Minnesota. They go up 2-0. We said yesterday this would be a laugher. Mini got so close in the first game that it would be inevitable letdown. And I'll tell you what, it's exactly what fucking happened. Look, Minnesota actually led by 9 early in this, and then in the second, the Rockets went on a 16-0 run and just put the fucking slap down on them and went, all right, now that's enough, fuck you, and kicked their ass. The Wolves, they were led by Ned Bjelica and a 45-year-old Jamal Crawford with 16 points each. And look, when you're led by Bjelica and a bloke who can legally retire and go on the pension, I think you're in fucking trouble, son. Jimmy Butler got swallowed up and only took 6 shots for 11 points. Only had 4 rebounds and 2 assists as well. Just, ugh. I know he's coming back from an injury, but fucking hell, man. Also, gross, Andrew Wiggo Wiggins. 13 points, 6 of 14 shooting. The crazy part was, for Wiggo, he had more assists than the rest of the starters combined. And he only had 3. Yeah, look. I'm going to throw this out there. I don't think you're going to win too many fucking basketball games when your entire starting lineup has 6 assists between the 5 of them. Fucking hell, they had 15 as a team. 3 of those came from Tyus Jones. Jesus. Andrew Wiggins leading you in fucking assists. That is not a great sign. Jeez. At least he passed it. nice one. El Jefe T get a shit game too, unsurprisingly. 19 minutes, 8 points. Just a rough one all around. Taj Gibson couldn't do much. He had 8 and 5 in his 23, but god damn it, the big problem, big Karl Anthony Towns. 9 shots again, this time only for 5 points. He only hit 2 of them. Holy shit, 10 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, but just looks completely discombobulated, doesn't he? Woo, how's this though? Derek Rose came back, backed up his solid game 1 with another solid outing. 9 points in 17 minutes off the bench. The former NBA MVP. And look, how's this? Derek Rose is outscoring Karl Anthony Towns so far in this series in 23 less minutes. Big Cat has 13 total points in 64 minutes. D Rose has 25 in only 41 minutes. Yeah, not a recipe for success in 2018 when Karl Anthony Towns is being outscored over almost double by D Rose in 2/3 of the time on the court there. Not great, bro. Not great. As a team, they shot 38%, only hit 5 of 18 from 3. That's fucking horrible, Wolves. For the Rockets, Chris fucking Paul. Holy shit, what a game. One on a run as well in the fourth. Everyone's falling over themselves about how good it was, and it was amazing to watch. He has 27, 8 assists, and 3 rebounds. This was fun as hell. He had twisty-ass layups, some big threes. It was on, and fast Jimmy Harden and all his bros are hanging out on the thing. Oh, fuck, Chris Paul's going off. And it was great. It was very fun. You know, Chris Paul, he's a dour son of a bitch, but when he goes 10 of 18 from the field and 3 of 5 from 3, it's kind of fun, I'll tell you. Speaking of fast Jimmy Harden, only had to play 31 minutes, and it's probably just as well because he had a shit one. 12 points on 2 of 18 shooting. Kobe goes 1 of 10 from 3. Hey, man, shoot a shoot. Yeah, all right, cool. Also, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. This is why you have Chris Paul. When Jimmy Harden has a shit one, Chris Paul goes, it's all good. I got this. Don't worry about it, Boris. I got it. I gotcha. Geraldo Green. Gerald Green, 21 points, 12 rebounds, 5 threes. Went 4 of 5 in, I think, the first quarter. Clint Capela has 8 points and 16 rebounds. A damn Swiss. Pretty good. Pretty good. So there you go. Rockets go up 2-0. And that is, Minnesota. It's a long way back from here, isn't it? All right, let's get to NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night.
That's a night. That's a knife.
That is a fucking knife. And that knife's name is LeBron fucking James. Holy shit. Scored 13 before anyone else on his team scored. Unbelievable. 20th playoff game with 40 plus points. Also, in the last 35 years, LeBron has 10 playoff games with 40 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. The people next are Shaq and Jordan with 4. Yeah, not bloody bad, LeBron. That is a hell of a game, mate. Like, putting the team on his back, as we expected, 46 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 17 of 24 from the field. Unbelievable. It's like, we can't take this shit for granted at this point. This is fucking amazing. The problem is for the Cavs, he needs to do it 3 more times so they get out of the fucking first round. All right, let's go to old mate, no mates. Who's got no mates today?
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates. Old mate, no mates. Who's got no mates today? And oh, mate, TNT's sideline reporter in Cleveland last night, Ali LaForce, telling LeBron about Pop's wife in the on-court post-game interview and trying to get a reaction. What the fuck, man? That's so fucking just floggy and heartless and shit. Like, do we need to see like this straight up while he's sweating from being on the court? Like, oh, we've got news. Better ask LeBron for his opinion about it. And it's really sad. As soon as he comes off the court, well, he's got no time to formulate his opinion or words of condolence. So we'll just do it anyway. Fucking hell, mate. I don't care that he later said that she told him just prior to it. And he had like, you know, a half second to like actually take it in. Some shit just doesn't need to be fucking handled in a fucking on-court post-game interview. Jesus, let the guy just like go to the fucking locker room. Just tell him about it. Go, all right, man, that's cool. We're not going to ask you about it. You can talk about it in the post-game podium interview, chat with the reporters and whatnot. That way it's all on the record and that's fine. Also give you a little bit of a chance to sit with your emotions. You don't need to sit there and go like and watch a dude basically find out that his friend's wife has passed away. What the fuck? Come on. And I don't care that he was like, oh, that's fine. Yeah, ask away. Maybe you should just go, look, nah, you know, decorum. Just show a little fucking bit of it. And finally, extra old mate, no mates, big cat. Come on, Carl Anthony Towns. Jesus, Derek Rose is outscoring you. He says brutal. All right, who was better than Lonzo Ball last night?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Donovan fucking Mitchell. 28 points. Unreal. Twisty layups, drives, pull-ups, everything. All on a sore left foot. And how's Lonzo going? Hanging out in Reseda. You know, in the All Valley, like a big baller league tournament or some shit. On you, Lonzo. All right, and it's Thursday, so we always play Where in the World is Jonah Bolden today? And let's go check it out. Where is he? Let's go check out. Jonah Bolden. That's right. He's still hanging out in Israel with Maccabi Tel Aviv as they finish up the Israeli BDL. They had a loss to Hapoel Galboa, and they're currently second on the table, 17-7. Now, Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, only played 11 minutes in this game with 3 of 8 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3. He had 6 points, 2 rebounds, and a steal. And look, we've watched his minutes drop pretty hardcore in the last couple of weeks. Apart from the 29 minutes he played against Valencia in EuroLeague last week, he's played 11, 11, 13, 13, and 15 minutes a game over the past 3 weeks. Not cool, man. Let's get Jonah out there. Out there and smashing like his dad, Bruce. All right, let's get to the Yenas right after, let's say, these words.
Oi, 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 it's old mate Deli over here. That's right, Matty Deli Vadova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's NBA Story. It's time for the Yeah Nahs, where we take 3 NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Let's do it. Should Paul George give back that playoff P nickname? Yeah, nah. Nah. You fucking said it, pal. You can't take back a nickname you give yourself, you fucking moron. After one game, When your playoff history is a bunch of dog shit and missed game winners, you can't after one game go, nah, 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 mate, I'm now playoff P. And you can't roll it back when you have a shit game too. You go, hey, man, I didn't want to be called playoff P. So you fucking said you did, you dipshit. I fucking love this. I love playoff P because when he sucks, it works even better. Oh, look at playoff P over here. Hey, look at this dickhead. Sucked in, mate. You're stuck with it now. Number two. Jeez, my accent just kicked in, huh? Number two is Carmelo Anthony washed. Yeah, nah. Yeah, come on, guy. Jesus, 11 of 31 from the field. Yeah, so far in the playoffs, he's gone 6 of 26 from three in his last four games. Looks like he's got no idea what he's doing out there. Oh, but Olympic Melo, bro. He's doing fucking nothing like Olympic Melo. Like, fill in the gaps, rebound, play defense. You're doing sweet fucking dick, Melo. It's not like he's Boomer Harvey out there hanging on while he's still got something in the tank. He's more like fucking Fev. Fucking Chunkly running up the ground going, kick it to me, I'll fucking kick a bag of 10. And then misses them all and, like, can't get to the ball, drops the mark anyway. It's like, yeah, there you go. Melo is Fev. I like it. Number three are Chuck and Shaq right for their criticism of Karl Anthony Towns. Yeah, nah. Yeah, fucking oath they are. Jesus cripes, mate. Some of the freeze frames they were able to get of him isolated on the perimeter and no one being in the paint were just crazy damning. But Karl, you got to get in there sometimes and just impose yourself on the game and not hope that your team will get you involved. Like, come the fuck on, man. Get in there, kick some ass. Like, it's like basically Clint Capela and Nene. That's all you got to fucking beat. Get in there, get stuck in, bro. And final extra bonus, yeah, nah, for today. The Knicks interviewing Kenny Smith. Is this a good idea? Interviewing the Jet, Kenny Smith. TV star, reality TV star, Kenny Smith. Yeah, because America's gone real well with getting reality TV stars in positions of power lately. Yeah, nah. Yeah, I mean, fucking sure, do it. Fuck, interview Ernie while you're at it as well. Like, meanwhile, Sam Mitchell, Isaiah Thomas, and basically everybody else on NBA TV would give a nut to coach the Knicks. The point is, they should be looking at unconventional coaches to step in and help grow Kristaps and Frankie Smokes and all their young dudes and the rookie that they draft next month. Like, give me fucking Fizdale or Becky Hammond or Jerry Stackhouse, not some old-ass retread or put you on a fucking shitty treadmill for the next 3 to 4 years before getting fired and Kristaps goes, yeah, I'm fucking sick of this, bro. How about I go to, like, the Lakers? Yeah, look, this is important, Knicks, so do it fucking properly. All right, look at me, look at me. It's time for the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me, look at me, look at me.
LeBron is dominating too much, don't you reckon? Wouldn't it be just fucking great if LeBron just goes, ah, fuck it. I'm going to chill for game three and be like, hey, fuckos. Let's see what happens when I don't score 45. This one's on you, dickheads. Just see what happens. I want that to happen. That would be fucking amazing. Like, just to see what happens. LeBron, I want you to see that do that. Come on, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. All right, Outback Takehouse for today. Get some shrimp with your takes. It's Thursday. That's double take, double shrimp, and double blooming onion. Also, don't know what a double fucking blooming onion is, but here it is anyway. Karl Anthony Towns has been the most disappointing part of these NBA playoffs, even more disappointing than the Blazers losing two at home, because he's afraid of success and will never be a big-time NBA player if he keeps this up. Our back takeouts. All right, coming up, we've got the NBA Australia Player Watch and the game previews and a bunch of other stuff. Game preview with our buddy PDX Pete even. So let's get to it right after these words.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
All right, we're back. It's NBA Australia. It's Australian Player Watch. Ben Simmons, game three tonight in Miami. Unreal. Patty Mills, game three tonight in San Antonio, going back home. See if they can get a win. Jingling Joe Ingles, game two last night in OKC. Jingler, bit of a shit game. 34 minutes, 3 points on 1 of 6 shooting, 1 of 4 from three. 2 rebounds, 2 assists, smothered once again by the Thunder. Couple of turnovers in there too. It really does feel like they've realized that Jingler is the sort of lifeblood of the Jazz offense when you basically go, all right, he's the cog in the machine that makes everything else turn. And then it just happened that Donovan Mitchell and Ricky Rubio last night went fucking bananas and won the game for them. Especially when Rubio goes 5 of 8 from 3, man. Like, Jesus. OKC, like, God damn it. But still, it's our own fucking fault for not playing a hint of defense on Rubio. So there you go, Jingler. Hopefully he'll bounce back. I'm sure he will, man. 1 of 6 from the field and 1 of 4 from three. Can't see that happening again. Dante Exum, Kangaroo Kobe, game 2. He had 13 minutes. He had 2 points, only 1 of 3 from the field, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal. Just filling up that stat sheet, bro. 1 turnover as well. Dally and Thonsong. Thon. The Boston Milwaukee series. So this is Dally, Thonsong, and Bangers Baines. Game 3 is Friday night. So we'll cover that off tomorrow with the previews, and that is it. So let's check out Kiwi Corner and see how Steven Adams Brew's going. Hey. So in Sunday's win over Utah, he had 12 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 of 9 from the field. And then last night in their loss to Utah, bit of a rough one, fouled out, as I mentioned at the top, on a bit of a dodgy call, I'd say. But he had 9 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 4 of 5 from the field in only 22 minutes. And basically, their defense looks amazing when he comes in. And then when he's out, it's a bit of a shit show. You know, it's just tough. Especially, like, he's doing a pretty good goddamn job against Gobert every night. And he's the man for it. The problem is the other big guys on OKC are two Pats, Patrick Patterson. And then their fucking power forwards are basically Jeremy Grant and Melo. Not great. So Steven Adams, he's like the last fucking bastion of defense on this goddamn team. And it's rough, I'll tell you. Rough. All right, we're going to hear from Steven Adams with a diary of Steven Adams a little bit later. All right, let's get on to the Patty Mills Game Day Ball Inspiration Board and the game previews right after, let's say, this one.
G'day, this is Thon McCurr, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's NBA Australia. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board. And we do have a new Game Day Baller Inspirational tweet from Patrick Mills. He says, coming back home to defend the Alamo. Fist bump emoji, frowny face emoji, hashtag go Spurs go, and a picture of himself in that amazing Spurs top where it's all the teal and the old-timey Spurs logo on the left top. Looking sharp, Patty. Looking fucking sharp. That's a great one. I'm inspired just to buy that fucking shirt. I'll tell you that much. All right. It's time for the game previews. Game previews. And tonight, Thursday, we have Philly at Heat, game 3. Let's do it. Philly need to get game 2, get back for game 2 and pop the Heat in the mouth, I reckon, at home to really assert themselves in this series and have everyone believe that they can do this. You know, it's a young team. They've got to go, all right, fuck it, man. We can go in to Miami, face some adversity, lose our second game at home, but come back in and win game 3. If they do that, whoa, bring it on. So, flip side, the Heat can put a huge amount of pressure on the Sixers by getting this win and then make game 4 basically a huge must win for the Sixers, because it'd be pretty fucking brutal if the Heat sweep at home and then win in Philly. I'll tell you that much. So will the Sixers throw McConnell out there in place of Fultz? Brett Brown says that he's still going to play Fultz tonight. The thing is, really, for Philly, is like, can their three-point shooters actually hit some fucking threes this time? Couldn't hit the side of a fucking Barnsdale barn in the last game. Holy shit. The question about whether or not will Joel Embiid play, he is still listed as questionable. Brett Brown says he's getting there to let him go out there and play in game 3 right now. It's all still on the table. He did some contact yesterday. It's progressing. He remains doubtful for game 3 tonight. He hasn't yet been cleared for full contact. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully he plays, because that'd be fun. If there's a time to bring him back, it's fucking now. Pop the Heat right in the mouth, force him to play Whiteside and kick the crap out of him. The Heat, they want to shut everyone down and keep that shooting of Philly cold. And look, I think I'm going to take Philly in this one. I think they come out hot and run the Heat a little bit ragged. It's the old counter to the counter, because look, the Heat countered Philly's game 1 stuff really well in game 2. It's now up to Brett Brown and co to counter what the fuck the Heat did, especially with all the Ben Simmons stuff and everything, and trapping him. It's like, all right, how do we free him a little bit better? Well, longer passes, smarter cuts, smarter picks, earlier picks. It's gonna be interesting to watch. Love it. But yeah, give me the Sixers. Warriors at Spurs, game 2. Woo! Or game 3, I guess. This is the first game in San Antonio. This entire series hinges on this game for San Antonio. Spurs have looked good in the first two. Just wonder if they can do it at home and get the requisite one win for a gentleman's sweep from the Warriors. And I think they do. I reckon the Warriors have got to have one game where they don't shoot the fucking lights out, right? And this might be it. Also, you reckon Danny Green might wake up and realize that he's playing basketball? Maybe. Maybe. So LaMarcus Aldridge might need to have a 40-point game. Patty and co will have to throw in a bunch as well, but I think they get it. And look, it's going to be tricky because the Warriors are really fucking good, but I reckon the Spurs have got to get one. I can't see the Spurs getting swept, right? Right. It's tough. I reckon the Warriors go, ah, fuck it. Let them have that one. All right, now, so now we're going to bring in PDX Pete, our resident Blazers fan, to help wrap and preview the rest of the Pelicans Blazers series. Let's get to it. It's me and PDX Pete.
Hi there. This is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
So now we're bringing in our man, PDX Pete, to help wrap and preview the rest of this fucking bananas Pelicans Blazers series. He is our resident Blazers fan. PDX Pete, what's going on?
G'day, mate. How's it going?
You know, chilling, not illing.
Let me tell you, it's been a rough day around Portland, but I am ready to move on.
Sure.
Game three.
Fucking hell. Game three, you lose two at home. It moves down to fucking like New Orleans. So how are you feeling like with the entire idea of the series?
I mean, quickly going back to last game, it was pretty rough. You knew when Jrue Holiday came down the lane, threw down that massive left-hand dunk, that it was just going to be a lot more of the same. Just wasn't great. Yeah, Lillard still looks a bit shaken. Hey, I'm not really sure what's going on there. I don't know if it's his ankles still bothering him or what it is. But yeah, with AD, with Jrue Holiday, just both of them balling out. And then, yeah, Rondo hitting corner threes. Who saw that coming?
That was bananas, man. Like when he hits threes, you're like, dude, come the fuck on. Really?
Yeah, Rondo? I have a clear memory of messaging you and saying playoff Rondo is not a thing. But No fucking way.
Rondo threw that right back in your fucking face as well.
Oh, yeah, I deserved that one. There was a few bright spots for Portland. I thought Zach Collins definitely had a great game. Aminu threw in some threes, although every time he throws it up, you think, please God, who knows what's going to happen. But, the bench, you know, the bench doubled the New Orleans bench's score. They played all right. But, yeah, we just need some help. We need some help for Lillard and CJ. So hopefully next game they can pull their heads out and get a better start and go from there.
So did most of Portland spend today and last night tracking down the refs from the game last night? Because it looked like they were going to fucking charge the court at like some point.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the players had to walk the refs off the court.
Jesus.
It wasn't good. And they're definitely still copping it today. But, you know, it's not all the refs' fault, although they did make a few dodgy calls. You can't really blame the refs. You just got to hit your shots and go from there. So,
through that. So what do you reckon Portland should do tonight in their game in New Orleans?
I got some breaking news. Evan Turner is doubtful. I mean, that's a game changer right there.
fucking hell.
He's got a hurt toe, so we're paying him $17 million a season to ice his toe for game three. Hopefully Mo, how could you be so heartless, can come in and kind of start and get going early. And then from there, yeah, we just need to break the traps that they're putting on Lillard and just get him off the ball and kind of get him some catch and shoots, because he is just getting slaughtered out there right now. So
you reckon? So Nurk also came out in yesterday's game. Well, I guess that'd be Tuesday night's game now. Do you think they start Davis over the top of Nurk for next game?
Nah, it looks like, from what I've read today, from all the reports, it sounds like he was actually good to go to come back in if they needed him. But they just kind of saw some matchups that they didn't really like. And I mean, it was painful to see him sitting on the bench, you know. Like I said, Collins did do pretty well, but he's a 20-year-old rookie. We need Nurk to get down there and just bash and get some fouls on AD early, and then hopefully, you know, that'll swing the pendulum back a little bit our way. So
yeah. Well, it's tough watching like Dame struggle in the playoffs, considering we're so fucking used to him like going off like a frog in a sock, right? It's just like, come on, man. Mate, like, where's the Dame?
I'm not going to lie. The amount of times I've watched that Houston shot just over and over again and think like, oh, mate, like we're settled here. You know, him and CJ, you think it's an automatic 50 points at night, and that's just kind of how it is. And yeah, no, they've really just taken Lillard out of the game and kind of forced everyone else to score. And so far it hasn't gone well. But, and then, like I said, Rondo shooting threes just, I mean, it shits me to tears. But, you know, when that happens, you just kind of, you got to get going and move forward and try and find some creative ways to score. So
nice. All right. So where do you reckon this series goes from here? It's 0-2, your boys. And then, so they go to New Orleans, the next two. What do you reckon?
Yeah, if you believe about 50% of Portland today, I would say that it's all over. Blow up the franchise; it's done. I hope that's not the I hope that's not the case, and I hope you know we can go back, force at least you know get at least one, hopefully both in New Orleans, and bring it back and just kind of start from scratch, best of three series. But you know, if we lose the next one, it's going to be really tough. It is going to be really, really tough to try and bring it back to Portland and get everyone behind the team because we're a fickle franchise and we're a fickle fan base out here. And once people start losing, then it, you know, it's cool for everyone's heads to roll. And yeah, it's shit.
So. Damn straight, man. If there's a sweep in the offer, like fucking hell, like the rest of Portland will just burn over the off season just with everybody screaming their fucking hearts out.
It's hard, you know, like you've talked a lot about how the West was so close and how, you know, there was only one win difference between third and sixth or seventh or something in the West. So, you know, I'm not making excuses just yet, maybe for a little bit down the line, but I definitely think that there is, there is bright spots from our season this year that we can hopefully lean on. But yeah, it is, I don't know what's going to happen.
All right, so I'm going to call. I think it was yesterday. I think I had the Blazers in five. I reckon, all right, fuck it. They're going to whip out four right now. I reckon it still might go 5-6. And I don't know. I reckon the Pelicans might win it now. Just the 0-2 to come back and then the Blazers to go into New Orleans and to win both there. It's such a fucking tough ask. It's going to be hard, man.
It is. Yeah, it's going to be really tough. I think Stotts is just kind of getting out-coached at the moment. I think Gentry's he's really done his homework on the Blazers. So yeah, I think it's going to be really tough for them to go four straight would be almost impossible. I think it's gone to seven, and unfortunately, the way we've played, I think you know we may go down. So it's depressing, but there's always next season.
Well, to be fair, fucking CJ and Dame Dollar could just go bananas and like put up 70 a night for the next, you know, five games and they kick ass. So, well, that was awesome. Thanks, PDX Pete, our resident Good. Blazers fan in Portland as well.
Thank you so much. And quick shout out to you, 100 episodes. You're doing great. Congratulations. You definitely deserve it. And I want to point out the hardest working man in the NBA, you're going around getting Australian player drops left and right. Unbelievable.
Fuck oath, man. Like, you know.
That Thon McCur one is amazing.
Look, hey, Thon was just up for it. And I'm like, all right, dude, I just put a microphone in front of him. It was pretty easy. So.
All right, man.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Hopefully we'll get you on for, round two. Hopefully your boys will pull it out.
Yeah, I very much hope so. Please, God. All right.
All right, sick, man. Cheers. Thanks for that.
Cheers. Have a good one.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya.
All right, how good was that? PDX Pete helping us talk about the Blazers Pelicans and a couple of other things there. That's fun as hell. So that was awesome. That was rad. There we go. So the picks. I've got Philly, we've got the Spurs, and I reckon the Blazers win game three in New Orleans just to throw a spanner in the works. And you know what? That is it for today. That's been NBA Australia episode 101. Woo, over 100, baby. We're back tomorrow for more ridiculousness with a big weekend preview. It's going to be huge. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at NBA Australia. Like us on Facebook. Keep up to date with all the NBA Australia Never Forgets on Facebook and at NBAAustralia.com. Don't forget to subscribe to NBA Australia on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Chuck us a nice 5-star rating and review while you're at it. That helps out a whole bunch. Like, it really does, man. Also, tell a mate. Go on. Just go, oi, dickhead, you listen to NBA Australia? And they're like, nah. So we'll fucking do it. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats, the best band in Australia. Their new single, Stop, is a pearler. Go request it on Triple J. They've got a big show at Anzac Day Eve as well. Go check that out in Melbourne. Extra special thanks to the legends at Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. Check them all out on Bandcamp and Facey. NBA Australia supports Australian bands, especially Fascinator. They've got a new song out called Sex Crystal. It's got a great video. Go watch it. Fascinator. Amazing. All right, stick around for a brand new The Diary of Stephen Adams, and we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Hosan! Oh, kia ora, Bruce. It's Stephen Adams here, eh, Bru? I'm just swinging by NBA Australia for my weekly diary, eh? So, hurry it is, Bru. Dear diary, it's me, Stephen Adams, Bru. Bet you knew that already, eh? Because you're my diary, eh? How are you, Bru? I'm good as. Because it's the playoffs, Bru. And I love the playoffs, Bru. It means I get to finally eat my playoff hungry Bru that I've had cooking in my backyard for the last 2 weeks, Bru. And I'll tell you, Bru, that's delicious, eh? I took it into the fellas before our first home game, Bru, and it was all like, hey fellas, it's me, Stephen Adams, Bru, and I brought my playoff hungry Bru, and they were like, oh, sweet as, Bru, and I'm like, yeah, no problems, eh? And then they ate it, and it was all like, oh, Stephen, Bru, this is delicious, and I was like, oh, sweet as, Bru. So then my friend Little Russ just punched my friend Terrence in the side of the head. I think there's something wrong with that fella, eh? Especially, Bru, after we lost our second game against Utah. Russ went back into the locker room, Bru, and lit everything my friend Alexa Brenner's owns on fire. It was a fair brutal, Bru. So, but the games have been really good, Bru. I dunked so hard I hurt my arm in game one, Bru, but it's now all good, eh? I've really enjoyed going against that big French fella as well, Rudy. It's been fun. I still can't believe I fouled out in game two, though, Bru. That was rubbish, eh? Still, I got a nice letter from my mum back home, though, too. She's watching Bic and NZ with all my brothers and sisters, Bru. So, she said, dear Stephen, Bru, I hope you are well. Me and all your brothers and sisters, Bru, are watching you in the playoffs buck here in Wellington. Except for your cousin Rongo, who is in jail again for ram raiding the milk bar. Again. But we keep him updated about you and the rugby scores. That's all. Love you. Love your mum. Hey. Oh, that's nice as, Bru. Always good to hear from home, eh, Bru? So, we've got a couple of days off now, so I'm going to go up to Utah and hang out with my friend, Joe Ungles. He's a good fella. I'm taking my chili bin up there too, so I reckon to make him and his family a nice pivluva, eh? That's the nice thing to do. And my pivluvas are really good, Bru. Not as good as my hungies, though. Hopefully we can beat him in game 3, eh? Actually, maybe I should get started another hungy, Bru. That'd be pretty sweet as, eh, Bru? Okay, diary, that's it for this week, Bru. I'll write in again next week, eh? Okay, cheer, Bruce. Love, Stephen Adams, eh?